The American comedian George Burns said that the secret of a good sermon is to have a good beginning and a good ending, and the two should be as close together as possible. So in an effort to find a good beginning, I went on the internet and I found a famous poem. And then I found a modern take on a famous poem, which I want to share with you. If you can live without caffeine and be cheerful, ignoring aches and pains. If you can resist complaining and understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time. If you can take criticism and blame without resentment and can ignore a friend's limited education and never correct him or her. If you can resist treating a rich friend better than a poor friend. If you can face the world without lies and deceit and conquer tension without medical help. If you can relax without drink. If you can sleep without the aid of drugs. If you can honestly say that deep in your heart you have no prejudice against creed or colour or religion or politics, then you will almost have reached the same level of spiritual development as a dog. This week, yeah, we're continuing to work through the series of talks shadowing the Keys to Freedom course that we're running. And today we're looking at this topic of healing life's hurts. In this case, not physical hurts, but the mental and emotional ones. The World Health Organization defines health like this. Health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Back in the book of Genesis, we can read of how when God created the earth, it was a perfect place. Then he created humans and put them in a perfect garden with everything they needed to be happy and healthy. And they were just that in Eden. And God gave them just one command, do not eat from that tree in the middle of the garden. But then, of course, the man and the woman did exactly that, and they ate an apple from the tree. And from that time on, humans have been suffering with the effects of that sin. One of those effects is bad health. And using the WHO definition, that's not just physical, but also emotional hurt, regret, pain, resentment, and other unhealthy feelings that come about as a result of things that we have done or that others have done to us or that affect us. People hurt. It's part of living in a fallen world. The rock band REM sang "Everybody Hurts Sometimes." And being followers of Jesus does not prevent us from getting hurt. In the Garden of Eden, there was complete physical, mental, and social well-being. And as followers of Jesus, we believe, don't we, that there's coming a time again that Jesus will return and a new heaven and a new earth will be created, and there'll be no more sickness, no more pain, no more crying, no more death. There will only be perfect health. But we're not there yet. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And this, I think, is the key message that God wants to share with us today. Jesus saying, I have come that you may have life and have it in all its fullness, it says in another translation. But if we allow ourselves to live in a state of being defined by our hurts, and what's happened to us before, and as Anna shared a few weeks ago, taking our identity from our hurts, then we're not healthy. We miss out on life in all its fullness. There's a spectrum of views when it comes to the question of God healing and being able to heal, isn't there? And what is in his power to heal? And as a doctor, it's a subject that really fascinates me. For myself, I believe that God is active in the world today and that he can and does heal today just as he did in biblical times. Can God heal? Yes. Does God heal? Absolutely. Jesus healed many people as part of his earthly ministry, including people who were blind or lame or suffered diseases like leprosy. He even raised one man back to life after the funeral had taken place. I believe that God still works miracles at times today, some of which include miraculous physical healing, but it also includes miraculous spiritual and mental healing too. But somehow, don't we put boundaries on what we expect him or allow him to heal. So can praying to God heal coughs and colds? Yeah. The flu? Chickenpox? Other childhood illnesses? How about muscular aches and pains? Yeah. Okay, how about we make it a bit more difficult? Broken bones or restore senses? Yes, he can. What about mental illnesses like schizophrenia or depression? Yes, he can. What about the hurt of disappointment from missed opportunities or an area of life not turning out as we hoped? Yes. What about the hurt caused by the way others have treated us in the past? C.S. Lewis, as well as writing the Chronicles of Narnia series, was a very, very wise man. And he wrote a book called The Problem of Pain. And he said that mental pain is less dramatic than physical pain, but it is also more common and more hard to bear. The frequent attempt to conceal mental pain increases the burden. It's easier to say my tooth is aching than to say my heart is broken. It's easier, isn't it, today to ask for prayer saying, I have a chest infection, rather than I can't cope. But I believe that the answer in all of these cases is God can heal. There are no boundaries. There is no limitation on what he can do. Chip Dodd is an American academic and author, and he defined hurt as the emotional and spiritual cry within us that lets us know that we have pain. Oftentimes, hurt is the root of our feelings and the reason behind our emotional responses. Steve showed an image a couple of weeks ago in his talk of a tree with the roots of the tree and then the trunk of the tree and the leaves. And the roots were our past experiences, and the trunk was our beliefs, and the branches were our actions, and the one comes from the other. Hurt can be as simple as a pain we feel if somebody doesn't return a phone call. It can be a disappointment we feel at being let down or not having our expectations met. It could be as heartbreaking as losing a loved one. No matter where the pain originated from, we are hurt as a result. And that feeling needs to be acknowledged and it needs to be dealt with. The feelings are not the problem. The problem with these emotional hurts is that many of us refuse to feel them. We throw up walls, don't we? We dive headfirst into any and everything to take our minds off them. We take on our national stereotype of role of the suppressed, reserved British spirit. Sometimes we will even resort to anger before we fully admit that the hurt is at the root. Essentially, we run from our hurts, and that's not how God intended us to live. That's not living life in all its fullness. There's an old saying which goes something like, you know, the Christian faith is not pie in the sky when we die, it's about steak on the plate while we wait. It's that tension of now and not yet. It's that promise of life in all its fullness, but living in a broken world. And yet we have hope. And the hope's name is Jesus. Jesus hurt too. Jesus experienced the whole range of human emotions during his life on earth. These are just six verses. For the sake of time, I won't find them all now. But you can read how he felt compassion, joy, love, fantastic, anger and distress, weeping in grief. When Lazarus dies, the verse doesn't say Jesus was a bit sad. It said Jesus wept. In Matthew 26, we read of the sorrow that Jesus feels. Whatever emotion you're feeling, whatever you've been through, he's been through it too. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "We do not have a high priest, Jesus, who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin." Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We can come to Jesus because he's been through it. Emotions are not the enemy. Disappointment or anger or joy or sorrow are all entirely appropriate emotional responses to some events that happen around us and absolutely should be expressed. But when they're not expressed, and in a very English way, we're good at suppressing our emotions, as I say, they become a major issue. They fester inside. We build our identity on those unresolved hurts, and they shape who we are, and they shape our identity. My identity becomes built on my hurts rather than my identity being built on being a child of God. And if we continue to hide these emotions from him, we can't grow in intimacy with God. We need to express our emotions to him. Back in Old Testament times, King David knew that. In Psalm 142, one of King David's psalms, "I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble." Emotions are not the enemy. Emotions are like signposts along the way of life, which act as prompts for us to understand what's happening around us. When we shut down our emotions and don't express them, they become a destination rather than a direction. And sadness, anger, and disappointment are not good places to live. Like joy, happiness, and gratitude, what they actually are prompts to prayer, prompts to pray. It's the spiritual being within us groaning, saying, "God, heal me." It hurts because it's not who we are supposed to be. Like David, we need to recognize that we can't run from our hurts if we're to live as fully as we were created to do. We can't run from our hurts because they will always, always catch up. The only safe place to run is into the arms of a loving God. 2 Kings chapter 20 verse 5 says, "I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, indeed I will heal you." God knows our hearts, he knows what pains us, and he wants to take our pain, but we must fully surrender it to him in order to experience his freedom. We can't run from our hurts. The only safe place to run is into the arms of a loving God. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." If we don't find ways to learn from past hurts, we'll likely be doomed to repeat the mistakes we've made in the past and transfer our hurts to everyone with whom we interact, whether they're friends or family, to neighbours and co-workers. So how do we address it? Healing our hurts has one requirement, I think, on our part: to be vulnerable with God. We need to go back to where it started, whatever it is. Identify the root of our hurt and pray. We need to pray through them with God. We're obviously limited on time this morning, but if you're at a loss to where to start, here are a few things you could begin praying through. Come to God in prayer. Like we started this service, be still and know that I am God. And pray, "Holy Spirit, come." And then ask him to show you a memory or a situation that resulted in a hurt. And then ask him to show how that specifically affected you. And you'll be able to complete a sentence like this: Lord, I remember when so-and-so happened, and I felt so-and-so. And in doing so, know that God is more powerful than our history. And when we trust in him, God will start to transform our hurts into healing and wisdom in our lives. So we can ask God to break the hold of our past over us and show us what useful lessons we can learn and begin moving forward. We can leave shame behind. The enemy, the actual enemy, not the feelings, the enemy would try and shame you. The enemy would say, you can't face that. You can't go there again. It hurts too much to deal with. What would people say if they knew? Silence the voice of shame. Invite the Holy Spirit's voice to speak and know that God loves you completely and unconditionally, regardless of what happened in the past. God knows the worst about us, all of us, and he loves us to bits and wants to redeem us anyway. Let go of shame. It has no role here. It has no power here. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is no power in shame. Let go of regrets. Holding on to regrets from the past will only lead to more regrets unless we can break the cycle by releasing them to God. As far as I'm aware, and feel free to correct me, anybody, nobody has actually invented a time machine, and we cannot go back and change the past, no matter how much we might wish to. And boy, sometimes don't we wish to. All we can do is keep moving forward one step at a time. So pray specifically about any regrets we hold on to. Leave every one of them at the foot of the cross and entrust them to God's power to redeem them for good purposes. I think you're perhaps starting to get the idea. This isn't like a 30-second thing if you've never done this before. This is going to take some time. God will be gentle. He'll start with things you can deal with. He'll move on to things you can deal with. He'll keep taking you through things that with him you can deal with. I have absolute confidence in that, if only we'd let him. Basically, it comes down to confessing that actually we're not okay. When somebody asks us how we are, the reflex answer is fine. Someone once said that FINE was an acronym. There are many acronyms. The one I've chosen to use is Feelings Internalized, Not Expressed. So let's not waste any more time or energy together pretending to be fine when really we're hurting, lonely, confused, or frightened because of our past hurts. If God shows you it was caused by some sin or something that you've done in the past, confess it to God, repent of the sin, and ask him to forgive you. If your pain was caused by someone else sinning against you, admit to God that it hurts and ask him if you need to forgive the person who hurt you, and then ask God to empower you to do so. Ask God and some fellow followers of Jesus that you can trust to help you to start the healing process. In Luke chapter 4, we read that when Jesus was in the temple at the start of his ministry, he took the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and unrolling it, he found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendants, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Pursue healing. Pursue Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate healer. Seek his guidance for every step of the healing journey, knowing that he specializes in taking what was broken and restoring it to how it should be. Accept the reality of what happened in the past that caused us hurt without denying or minimizing the effect on our lives. But then we need to let go of our desire to have life turn out the way we planned it. Surrender our past to God so that he can take it and use it for good purposes. And pretty soon you'll find that we can all talk openly about our past with other people who are struggling with a similar type of hurt. And we can testify how God brought us through it and usher hope into their lives as well as our own. Oftentimes when we experience hurt, we come to believe lies. Ask God to show you the lies that you believed about yourself as a result of those hurts. But there's a truth to combat every lie. So prayerfully ask the Lord to show you the truth and ask him to deposit that truth in your heart in the place of the lie. So Lord, I remember when I felt. So Lord, I choose to break agreement with the lie that whatever. And I believe the truth that. You know, sometimes I still struggle with a false narrative, a lie. And it's a lie that I have to prove myself to be accepted, to belong. Even with God, even in the church. If I don't prove myself, I won't be accepted. I don't know still quite where that feeling comes from. It's something that I'm still working through. But it was a belief that I wouldn't be accepted for just being me. Maybe some of that rings a bell with some of you too. But it's a lie. The truth that combats that lie goes like this. I am a child of God and an integral part of the Church of Jesus Christ. I can be and have been and will be forgiven of my sins through Jesus' death on the cross. And I've been brought into the family of God in relationship with God one day to inherit eternal life. That's the truth. That's the truth. Each new day of life is a gift from God that he wants us to live fully. But if the hurt we suffered in the past is still impacting our lives now, we can't fully embrace that new life that God offers us because we're stuck in a frustrating cycle of brokenness that leaves us feeling hopeless. The key to overcoming the past hurts is making the choices that invite God's hope into our lives. Here are a few ideas as I close. Choose trusting God over pleasing God. Instead of trying to make up for past failures by working hard with religious rituals we hope will please God, choose to trust his promise that he loves us and accepts us unconditionally. He loves us because he loves us because he loves us because he loves us. Rather than trying to reach God with our own efforts, trust in his grace. Accept his surprising, radical gift of grace and be graceful with others. Not a limited, strings-attached grace, but God's completely unconditional grace that we can count on no matter what we've done in the past. The grace that's surprising but real. God sees us and he focuses on the fact that we are his beloved children. Even if others may label us as a second-class person due to past mistakes, God always sees us as nothing but the best. We should express our gratitude to God. We should try to follow that command to forgive the people that have hurt us in the past, but rely on God's help to do so. And then, as well as knowing who we are, the bit that goes hand in hand with that is know what we are for. We can free ourselves from a burden of worrying about aligning our decisions with God's will when we start to realize that God's will is simple. It's simply about giving our best effort to loving God and loving people in all circumstances. God has given us the freedom to make our own decisions about some of the specifics in our lives, as long as we follow that basic principle of choosing the most loving course of action while trusting God. And finally, keep a short account of things that hurt us. Recognize the emotions we suffer for what they are. They are prompts to come to prayer. Maybe that's part of what Paul was getting at in his letter to the Ephesian church when he said, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. That's maybe for another sermon. I've given an outline today. The course goes into a lot more detail. But I want to encourage you that God can and does heal today. And there's no magic formula. He doesn't heal our hurts because we pray clever prayers or we know the right order to do everything in. He does not heal because we hold any power over him in ourselves to bring healing. He doesn't heal because we convince him to or have any power over him. He does not heal for spectacle or for spiritual entertainment of those who attend church services or meetings or conferences. He brings inner healing because he wants to, because he loves us, because he wants to have that relationship with us. He wants us to be able to live life in all its fullness. As I say, one day sickness and hurt of any sort will not be an issue. But until that time when we are with Jesus, we can be encouraged by Jesus' words that he came that we may have life, and life in all its fullness. Let's start to reclaim that today.